Pulp Shoe.
Recorded live.
My hustle can't knock it. The game shop is catastrophic. I'm after the profit. Pull a salad out the stocking. It's popping. I popped in the cherry blossom. Rock.
What up, people? This is Speaking Like You Thinking Radio. I'm your host, Nas. My bad on the loud-ass music. Slipped on the volume over there. But anyway, man, this is real sports talk right here, man. Honest opinions from honest people. Just giving it to you the best way they can. And tonight I'm joined by some great guests. First up, the controversial truth, the one and only Naughty Dread. What's up, Naughty?
Man, you know, same suit, Jerry Heat.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm also joined by a fantasy football genius who is already bragging about his little teams this year, Mr. Football King James. What's up, James?
Yo, what's up? It's your boy. I'm about to get my championship belt, baby. About to get two of them.
Hey, full disclosure, I just spilled half my beer as I was trying to say James' name.
Don't waste no beer, man. Don't waste no beer.
And I'm also joined by Hawks101.com blogger, Mr. Gordon Robinson. What up, Gordon?
What's going on, man?
Oh, man, just watching some of these games, flipping through. I guess we got short work tonight, man. We can knock this out in about an hour and a half.
Indeed.
Yeah, man. First thing I want to say, though, is apology to everybody listening last week for me playing that clip of that rumor about James Harden. My bad on that one, James Harden. Looks like that was a lie. And I pushed it out there. So my bad, James Harden.
What was the rumor, though? Because I had heard somebody, ESPN had to apologize, didn't
it? Some stripper, man, said somebody gave her $20K. Everybody ran with the story saying James Harden did it. But,
yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I shouldn't even play that clip. My bad, James Harden.
Yeah, I remember that too. Okay.
Yeah, so that turned out to be false, man. So James Harden might not be a simp like that out here in these streets, man. People shouldn't be talking about that man like that. Intro song, Rock Marciano. His new album is out. Check it out. My bad on the volume, Rock. But, you know, just trying to get you some light, man. He out there shining. First topic, though, man, I guess we can go to – it's not going to be a sad thing because we're just commenting on something that's already happened. But let me go to Winthrop basketball coach Pat Kelsey last night after their loss to Ohio State during his press.
I'm going to walk upstairs. I'm going to walk into two pink rooms, okay, with a five-year-old and a four-year-old laying in that pink room. With a bunch of teddy bears laying in that room. I'm going to give them the biggest hug and the biggest kiss I've ever given them. And there's 20 families in Newport, Connecticut that are walking into a pink room with a bunch of teddy bears with nobody laying in those beds. And it's tragic. I don't know what needs to be done. I'm not smart enough to know what needs to be done. Okay? I know this country's got issues. Is it a gun issue? Is it a mental illness issue? Or is it a society that has lost the fact, the understanding that decent human values are important?
Yeah, I'm just going to cut it off there, man. It's a pretty long clip. I'm sure everybody's heard all of it by now. It's been running all day everywhere. Let me just get your thoughts on that. Coach Pat Kelsey, after the game, pretty much a stump speech. I'm shocked that he's getting away with this at this point. Well, let me go to Gordon.
I agree wholeheartedly with Coach's sentiments. I mean, it is a tragedy. You know, as a guy with two young kids that same age, man, your heart goes out to those families. You know what I mean? I couldn't even imagine what kind of mental state that some of these people would be in if just from losing a child, you know. And I agree with him. I think it's all of the above. He was saying, is it a gun issue? Is it a mental illness issue? Is it a society issue? I think it's all of the above, personally. I do think it's wrong that you can walk into the Bass Pro shop or whatever and get you a rifle that's spitting out 30 rounds per second. I think we've been desensitized as a country. You play Call of Duty, you play Grand Theft Auto, you play all these other games where you get points for killing people, for shooting at cops, for running away from, you know, from doing all kind of malicious acts. You've been desensitized as a people about what death really is and what the meaning of death really is. And kids don't quite grasp the concept. You know, you see all the time in these little specials on HBO or Scared Straight or whatever, when people say, well, look, you know, I didn't understand what I was doing when I was 15, 16 years old. You know, here it is 10, 15 years later, and I'm in hell for making the wrong decision, you know, not understanding life. So it's a whole thing, man, and it is a tragedy all the way around. I do commend the athletes that are making a stand. I commend the coaches that are speaking up. You know, some people say it's wrong to take their form, but I believe that, you know, we need these people. If we look up to these athletes and coaches as role models, I believe that's what they should do, is to stand up for what they believe in.
All right, let me move it to James.
Yeah, for tragedy, everything that happened with in Connecticut. That's something that should never have happened. I think that is more of a society issue. It's not really a gun issue. And the reason I say a society issue, if you go back and look, since they took religion out of school, crime rate has gone up every year. The children don't have any guidance. They don't have any fear. They have been desensitized by video games, movies, music. I mean, you can name it. Yeah. Everything, TV, all that has desensitized everybody. So.
Okay. Just to say, freedom of speech is a powerful thing. I don't agree with what James said, but he should be allowed to say it. That's all I can say about that. And I'm just talking about the religious aspect as far as school, but he should be allowed to say it because that's his opinion.
Exactly right.
James, if I cut you off, James, go ahead and finish. My bad, man. But
yeah, like I say, the religious thing, my main thing is, like I say, at least people, they knew God, and they at least were taught that you need to love your fellow man. Now everybody just, they taught to look out for self. I feel like the country as a whole has gotten worse every year that there's been no religion in school. So it's more, to me, it's a society issue. And I don't see how it's going to get any better. If you try to take away guns, that's not going to help the situation. Because then only the criminals going to have the guns. So.
Okay. Let me move it to Naughty Dread to close it out.
Yeah, you know, it is a tragic event, you know, but, and, you know, I gotta feel greater, you know, a 10-year-old, you know. But I don't share the same emotional sentiments as a lot of people do. And people ask me why, because, see, in between me and a lot of people, I see scandal, and then first thing they say is he played a lot of Call of Duty. And I say, now, why y'all trying to put this propaganda in my face? So now y'all going to blame Call of Duty for this?
Yeah.
No. See, people who really care about the issues, like myself, like when Penn State had the issue, I didn't go off what ESPN was telling me. I went and did the research for myself and really dug down into it, and I saw really what was going on. It's a bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the same thing with this. When I saw this issue, I care enough to really dig down. And when I really dug down deep into it, that was connection with this murder, with the movie theater murder. At the same day, December 14th, look it up. Google, Chinese man stabs 22 kids at an elementary school. This is the same day as the goddamn shooting. So you got to see as a connection. So, okay, let me go deeper. Look at who this guy's father, Adam Lanza, who his father was. His father is the president of GE Capital. So you start looking at some other things, got down to it. There was a $43 $43 trillion racketeering and money laundering scheme that these folks are getting their families off. You talking about $43 trillion that somehow got missing. They got to be repaid back. Heavy hitters, kids are losing their lives. You know, we talking about this is not a random, you know, some guy just randomly. This guy wasn't hurt for nothing. He was straight. So this is not some mental. He had a mental problem. Oh, he played Call of Duty too much. He just randomly went into school and shot 22 kids. I don't believe that. When you start connecting the dots, there's some business going on. And when you talk about $43 trillion that need to have an answer for, oh, yeah, I can start seeing why some of these kids get shot up now. When you talk about a thing they got called Strike Force Tuesday, well, Obama then killed 168 children over in Afghanistan just off of what we would call a random search, but a random friend. Come on, man. You got to really go deep into the story to really understand what's going on out there. And it ain't nothing what they putting on TV. So, yeah, my condolences go out to those children in China and those children in Afghanistan and overseas get killed every day. And they innocent. They ain't done nothing to nobody. But it's all about this mighty dollar.
Okay. Yeah, I've been getting a lot of interesting tweets about things like that, man. So, I mean, who knows, man? Like you said, do your research, figure it out on your own, and come up with your own opinion about things. But, yeah, just an interesting thing, man. I was surprised that the coach took that forum to say what he had to say. Like Gordon said, I think he did give a well-thought, good speech, though, as far as what he addressed.
Yeah, but a lot of that is meant to mislead. See, they want to, then just
well,
they
well, that guy's going
with the gun.
What he knows, though. Now,
yeah,
not
but
like,
it ain't got nothing to do with gun control. But you know what the problem is? Everybody need to have a gun. Everybody have a gun, that things like that won't happen. That'd be eliminated. But when you're trying to, you're not going to tell me that it makes sense that nobody has a gun except for the government. So that totally doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree with you on that.
That's why this is such a hot button issue, as we saw with, let me think, Jason Whitlock and Bob Costas after the murder in Kansas City when they came out and said something about guns. You've seen the reaction they got on Twitter and on the news and everywhere else. Whitlock had Bill O'Reilly on his ass because of this gun situation. So. It's a real hot-button issue in this country. Guns is damn near close to race as far as emotion in America. So you'll always get that kind of, you know, blowback when you bring up either topic. Either way, man, this is interesting. I think the coach, for what he knows, he did a good job, man. I don't think he knows anything more than, you know, what the news is showing so far. I don't think he's looked any deeper than that. So he's just looking at 20 kids that have lost their lives. And he just gave his opinion on it. So, like I said, it's an interesting thing. But we can't stay too serious, can't stay too much on this topic. We're going to get back into sports and deal with that. There's no real good way to make a transition from that to anything else. So the best I could come up with was there's an article on Deadspin.com. They were speaking about the 49ers and Patriots game that was interrupted for President Obama to make a speech. A lot of people got mad, and the main tag on Twitter for that was, "Get this nigger off my TV. I want to watch football." That was the word. So you can check out the article. You can see all the tweets from a lot of different people saying, you know, what they speaking it like they thought it. You know what I mean? That was their feeling about him interrupting their football game, despite
I have no problem with that.
The size of the tragedy that we were dealing with. These folks was that mad.
I knew that was coming.
So we're gonna save Naughty for last on this one, because I already know this is gonna get tough on this one. So James, let me get your thoughts on it first. Did you see the article or anything about folks' reaction to Obama on Twitter?
I didn't see the article or any of that, but I didn't have a problem with Obama there. And when you get in your second term, that's when you get gangster. I'm the HNIC up in this bitch, and I'm finna interrupt your motherfucking football game. Ain't nothing you can do to stop me for the next 4 years. So watch me now. And that's exactly what he did. I was like, okay, because he interrupted the game for about 30 minutes. And so I ain't had no problem with that.
It was like 10.
I ain't had no problem with Obama. Them people that was married by the game, ain't nothing they can do about it. It's done now. So you just had to get.
Oh, okay. Let me go to Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, once again, it goes to show you people's true feelings. You know what I'm saying? What you really think. You like to think that it's 2013. Racism has pretty much died away. That's what society would like you to think. But then you get to
post-racial,
see...
Post-racial, ain't that
media,
what they call it? Yeah.
Right. You get to see... You hear media outlets like Twitter, like Facebook, like some things like that. People get to express their true feelings where they feel like they're amongst their friends and people who feel the same way that they do, and you get these type of things. I mean, me personally, even though I wasn't, you know, I saw that Obama had cut into the game, and while I could understand why people would be upset, you know, the incident that happened, some people would like to move on, but get this nigga off my TV wasn't the thing that I thought of. You know what I'm saying? I just happened to be in a position where I could continue to listen to the game. But I did see some of those tweets with the hashtag like that, and you know, you just kind of shake your head and just move on from it because as an individual, I know and understand we still live in America, and I know what America still stands for.
All right, and let me go to the controversial truth, Naughty Dread.
I didn't even see it. I don't even know what game this happened in.
San Fran, Patriots.
Yeah, it was a Sunday night game.
I was a Sunday night game, so I was watching the game partly, but I wasn't really getting to watch it like that because I was doing a radio show that night. But, I mean, like I'm saying, I have no problem with it because when someone uses that type of language, then it only exposes their ignorance, and that ignorance needs to be exposed. Why are we letting them hide the fact that they're ignorant? That's the problem. We're not really getting to see who are the ignorant fools out here making decisions because we want to hide everything. No, let's put everything out in the open so I can really know who feels what way, who sees what way. That way we can, you know, maneuver through this, you know, Babylonian society, you know, properly, you know, with little missteps as possible. But when we allow them to hide this stuff, man, and it only really creates more problems down the road, more misunderstandings. But I have no problem with it because, hey, we use it. I mean, I'm pretty sure some of us was on there putting this nigga need to be out the screen.
Yeah, there was. There were some black people on there, too.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know, man. I don't know. I wasn't that shocked like other people were. And the best thing I can say about it is if y'all check out Combat Jack's radio show, it's a hip-hop show. They actually brought Bomani Jones on a couple weeks ago. And a statement he made was a lot of people think race moves as far as progress in America. When in reality, race moves in peaks and valleys. We have times to where it's ratcheted up and the racism gets to a point of, you know, physical violence or people just seriously angry or whatever. And then it'll slow down and then ratchet up. So he's just saying right now we're probably in a cycle where it's about to ratchet up. And I fully believe he's right on that one, man. So we got the reelection. We got all the fallout from that. So I definitely think it'll be ratcheted up for a while. So I think this just goes to show that those words will come true in 2013. It will be ratcheted up a little more. So with that said, off the controversial topics and on to the games, Let's talk about some football, y'all. Straight football. Since we're kind of short tonight and it's just us four, I figure we can really get into all these games. So let's start it off with Gordon's team. Let's go ATL Giants, man. Surprising 34-0 shutout by the Falcons of the Giants. Matt Ryan balled out. Eli looked shook. I don't know what was going on. But let me get y'all take on Falcons Giants. Let me go James first.
Hey, what I told y'all last week, I said they're gonna win by 7-14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I said, right? They went out there and whooped that ass. And I told all my friends, I told them the Falcons, I didn't know it was gonna be a 34-0 whooping. I knew they was gonna get beat. And the Carolina game, that was just. Them guys went up for that game. They were waiting on the Giants. They just one of them things. And from what I've seen this year, every team been pretty much blown out or beat up by somebody, which is to me is kind of unusual for this year. But they went out there. They ran the ball on them. They had a statement drive. They intercepted the ball. First play, they ran the ball 4 or 5 plays in a row, touchdown. That was a statement drive. Let them know we can't run this ball and you can't stop us from running the ball. And we the Manning family champs. Now, you know.
2-0 against the Manning.
2-0 against the Manning, baby.
Yeah, ATL handled their business. Naughty Dread.
Well, you know, the Falcons were very impressive. No, they really looked determined. They looked like it was a statement game, like they knew they had to go out there and prove something. They really jumped out on the Giants, which, you know, for me, you know, even though the Falcons are a team that you still want to see do something in the playoffs, it gives you a little bit more confidence that maybe, perhaps, this is a year that they could win a playoff game. Maybe they could win 2 playoff games. So, you know, they gave their fan base a reason to be happy, you know, a reason to be lifted up. But I would warn a Falcon fan, don't get too high up because the Falcons' history says that they're going to let you down eventually. So, you know, just, like, be even killed until, like, y'all actually do something.
All I got to say is, man, the great Eastside Jam said his father told him, talk shit while you can. So, I think Gordon's going to roll with that tradition. Let me roll over to Gordon. Your thoughts, ATL versus the Giants?
Well, to piggyback off of Nadia, what'd you say, just kind of be cautious? That's not the definition of a fan, though. You know what I'm saying? You fan, you ride or die with your team, you live, and you go with what they do. I mean, yeah, it's easy to say be cautious because of what's been going on in the past. But years past have been years past, and you can only, you optimistic for tomorrow. I mean, if something happened to you yesterday, you don't say, well, if something bad happened yesterday, you don't say something bad going to happen to you today because something bad happened yesterday.
But I'm
you know
a Hawks fan, and the Hawks are playing well, but I'm not sitting here, like, really my hopes on the championship. Like, I'm not going to get that high up, like, I'm going to be cool. Like, all right, we playing decent. We straight. Like, I hope we
Yeah, but there's different levels, though. The Hawks,
I mean,
they'll be happy to go second round. The Falcons, they got higher.
Exactly. The Hawks trying to go to first. Get past first. So, I'm saying, the Hawks is better than the Falcons. So, I'm saying.
But I
get what you're saying, though. As a fan, y'all doing very well. You high up right now. But I'm just saying, you know, how they go.
Just from being around the organization, everything that we say about the playoffs, everything that the national media says about the playoffs, everything that you read in the papers and blogs and all that stuff on the internet, these guys are saying the same thing in the locker room. They know that they're going to be judged on what's going on in the postseason. They understand that, you know, but you can't play those games until you get to the postseason. You can't prove everybody wrong until the postseason starts. They can't play playoff games today. They can't because the playoffs don't start today. So what they have to do is they have to go out game by game and win the games that are on their schedule. You know what I'm saying? It would be different if they could be just as easily in the Giants spot. They could be just as easily have the same record as the Redskins or some of these other teams, but they don't. They have a 12-2 record, and they're doing what teams have done in the past. People are saying, well, the hot team around the end wins the season. Well, they're starting to play better football around the end of the season. Yeah, the Carolina game, you can point to it and say, well, what was that? That was a game you come off an emotional high. You just beat the Saints, and now you're looking forward to the Giants. Carolina's Carolina. We had, up until that point, history has said Carolina hadn't even touched the Falcons. So was Carolina due for a game? I mean, Cam Newton was 0-3 versus the Falcons. Sounded like he was due for one to me. See what I'm saying? But it was a trap game. That's pretty much the definition of a trap game. You had one big game one week, 2 weeks later you got another big game, and in that game in the middle you kind of overlooked. That's just what it was. They came out here, they knew the Giants had basically shamed them in the first round of the playoffs last season when people were expecting them to do big things. They went out there, they laid an egg, they only put 2 points on the board. They got Asante Samuel, who was a key acquisition. They got a new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator. It's a different feel for the team. They have a different confidence, a different swagger. Asante Samuel said before the game, week coming up, I told my boys I knew some tricks on Eli. I had some experience with Eli. I know what to look for. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to try to bait him in first. You know what I'm saying? First series, what does he do? He get that pick. Shoot, he jumped on the ball better than the receiver jumped the ball.
Yeah.
You know he was on it.
So he knew what it was, and from there it got rolling. And halfway through that game, I don't know if anybody noticed it, but it looked like the Giants were ready to press fast forward, man, and get it over with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something to be said.
I noticed it.
It's something to be said.
I noticed I went to sleep at halftime.
So it's something to be,
like
something to be said when the Giants, the big bad Giants, can't convert third downs. They went for the Giants have had their back up against the wall so much to the point where it was 17-0, and the Giants instead of on a 4th-and-2 or 4th-and-3, instead of kicking the field goal to get the game, you know, a step up, you know, try to get some points on the board, try to get something rolling. They went for it on 4th-and-3, didn't get it. They went for 4th-and-3, three or four times, and didn't make it.
A conference coach like Mike Smith did last year in the playoffs against the Giants. He left points on the board continuously.
So, I mean, is that, you know what I'm saying? And on top of that, I feel what was good on top of that was the fact that not only did we just say we beat a team who national media who had continuously picked to be better than us, but also at the same time, we put their playoff hopes in jeopardy. They got their back against the wall this week. This is a must win. They said last week was a must win, but this week is definitely a must win for them if they want to do anything. They just want to make the playoffs. They got to win this game, let alone talk about winning the NFC East. And people want to point to it and say, what did the Giants do wrong all season? Everybody, what did Peyton do wrong? What did this team do wrong? What did Breeze do wrong? Well, somebody had to put – the Falcons put you in that position. When did the credit turn to that? The Falcons had Peyton Manning on the ropes early in the first half, 3 or 4 interceptions. The Falcons put 5 picks up on Drew Brees. The Falcons put 2 picks up on Eli Manning. At some point in time, you got to say, damn, what are the Falcons doing as opposed to what's wrong with these QBs?
Yeah, we ain't hear about Eli's tired arm this week, so I was happy about that. I thought that was going to come out again. But, yeah, the Falcons put it off.
Deserve their credit. They went out and got the job done. They went out and took care of business. Like I said in the beginning, they played like they understood this was a statement game that they had to win in order to prove to the fans and to the league that, hey, y'all don't got to worry about us. We going to be all right down the road. So I understand the confidence that Falcons fans have in this team. This is a good team, but I just say be cautious because you know the history.
Yeah, but
they're good.
I'll be cautious next year. This year, they're going to win it all, baby.
For the last 3 years.
Well, Jay, with that said, you just said the Falcons will win it all. Your Cowboys, who are in that NFC East tough race, pulled out a win over the Steelers. Your thoughts on your Cowboys, man?
Man, Tony Romo didn't make no mistakes. And they played real good. I was proud. The Falcons played good. The Cowboys played good. I was real happy. Only thing I didn't like, we should have beat them by more than what we beat them. We shouldn't have had to go to overtime. They seem to be playing a little bit more consistent now that DeMarco Murray's back. The line seem to be blocking a little better. So everything looking pretty good, but I said 2-3 years ago, we're not going to win a Super Bowl with Romo at quarterback. So until we get another quarterback, I know we're not winning a Super Bowl.
Okay.
But I was happy with the performance that we won.
Okay. Now, everybody else, if you want to take Cowboys on, go ahead. If you want to look at the Steelers situation, go ahead either way. But Cowboys, Steelers. Let me go Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good game for two teams who are still, like I said, continuously pushing to try to get in the playoffs and try to get some kind of position for themselves. Big Ben, man, he's out of sync with his OC. As much as Mike Tomlin want to cover it up and say that, you know, he's on board with what's going on, there's been a documented rift between the two. Big Ben wants to do one thing. And the OC don't want to do it. You know what I'm saying? Todd Haley wants a more conservative approach, and Ben want to let it loose. You know what I'm saying? Let it loose and fly. I think with the Steelers, I think I probably said it from the beginning. I think the Steelers are just an aging team. You know, I heard a stat recently in talking about their division. When they were talking about how Cincinnati is trying to make a push. You got Baltimore kind of descending, fighting on some hard games. You got the Steelers doing what they're doing, you know, fighting on hard games. And they threw out somebody, I think it was like Mike and Mike or somebody like that, threw out a fact that the Bengals are 0-9 against Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Well, that fact is skewed. That's a skewed stat. You can make a stat say whatever you want to, because that stat goes back about two and a half seasons ago. When you're talking about A.J. Green, who's only been in the league 2 years, you're talking about Andy Dalton, who's only been in the league 2 years, you're talking about a Steelers team who was a different team 2 years ago. You're talking about a Ravens team who was a different team 2 years ago. The Ravens and the Steelers have aged and aged tremendously. We know football. You say, well, it was just 2 seasons ago. Well, look at 2 seasons ago. Look what happened to Polamalu, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, James Harrison. Some of these guys that are on these teams, these guys have aged and aged hard, and that's hurting their teams. For the Cowboys, I mean, I still don't trust them. I mean, I'm with James. I'm not a big believer in Tony Romo. I hate to jump on the bandwagon late in terms of what the Redskins are doing, but I think it's time for RG3 to step it up and possibly make the Redskins a contender in the playoff scenario. But, you know, I watch it. I'm not a fan of either of those teams. I watch it to see how I play. I sit back and enjoy the games with my popcorn and my beer and see how it unfolds.
Yeah. Okay. And Nadi, your take on those two?
Yeah, I mean, two teams that are in similar situations this year, and that's why I even went to overtime and went how I went. The Cowboys, you know, they're going to wait till the last possible minute to mess everything up. But, yeah, I mean, it's only a matter of time. You know, they're going to hold off until the last possible minute when they're supposed to win the game. It's going to be the game. If they win, they're going to be in. If they lose, they're going to be out. They're going to lose. Somehow they're going to figure out a way to blow it. They're going to have the game in control, too. They're going to lose at the end.
I think
the Giants still going to pull out that division, you know, just based on the history of Eli Manning. He's never finished below 500 in his career. And then you're looking at Pittsburgh. I just felt, you know, the Ravens, you know, they started out strong, you know, pretty much get division early, and then Cincinnati, is a good football team. So I felt that at the beginning of the season, Pittsburgh was going to be out anyway, and Cincinnati was going to get in. So, you know, it's no surprise to me. I don't really think Haley is the problem, the offensive coordinator. I just think they are aging, like Gordon said, they aging right now, and they got to figure some things out as far as the future goes, as far as who's going to replace some of the guys who are continuously hurt, especially this season. When you talk about Polamalu, James Harrison, he seems to be slowing down, and they got to do something with the cornerback position. They seem to be a little weak at that area.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly with all of that, man, definitely, especially with Pittsburgh, man. They got to do something in these next couple of drafts to get some youth on that team. Next up, before we go back into the games, let me just ask this. Let me get your Rookie of the Year, and let me get your MVP. Let me go to Gordon first.
Rookie of the Year. I like RG3. I like what he's done. I think he's injected hope into Washington, hope into the Redskins. But I have to say, if you just look at what the Colts have done last year without a QB and what they've done this year with virtually the same team, just add Andrew Luck, I have to say I think he would have to take the Rookie of the Year. My MVP, I got to go Adrian Peterson. I mean, we looking at this dude breathing down Eric Dickerson next for the rushing title, who this time last year, I mean, not even a year ago, what was it, Christmas Eve or something like that, he tore his knee up? Something like
week,
I know it was,
week 16.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Week 16.
We talking about not less than a year later, this man is breathing down, talking about 2,000 yards, and he's running harder than he has ever gone before. I mean, you look at it, he's ripping long runs from 80, 70, 60 yards and killing linebackers. He's killing DBs. He's busting through line like it's nothing. I mean, that's
with Christian Ponder at quarterback. Yeah.
Right. And you're basically talking about a playoff team. I don't know, man. I threw out the question to Nas a little earlier. And I asked the panel, could this be a product of performance enhancement drugs, or is it just the fact that AP is a straight out freak of nature, man?
I say
I'm torn.
I say both. and I have no problem with PEDs, so it is what it is. But I say both.
I have no problem with PEDs. I can't speculate on what a man doing, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I'm just
feeling the
speculation. Yeah.
If it came out down the road that, yeah, they tested and he had HGH or something in him, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, James?
I think they might need to do something unprecedented. Make RG3, Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson the rookies of the year.
Damn. You gonna get there?
Three-way split, huh?
This is like unusual. This is an unusual year. Everything is unusual. You never seen three rookie quarterbacks come out and play like this before. I think they say Russell Wilson leads all rookies in touchdown pass. RG3 leads the whole league in daggone completion percentage. Daggone Andrew Luck leading the league and yards. I'm like, and everybody is in playoff contention. So
yeah.
I think they should do a three-way split. And it should be I agree with Adrian Peterson. This dude tore his knee up week 16 last year. I got him on my fantasy team. This dude beasting. He ran over 200 yards at least two times this year. I mean, he beasting. He running people over. Man, they did a comparison of him and Jim Brown. Looked like the same dude. He just looked like he just bigger and stronger and faster than everybody. And this is the first year of the ACL. You ain't supposed to get better until your second year.
Right.
And I'm looking at this dude, man. I'm like, He running cats over. He hitting them with the stiff arm. He out running them. I mean, I'm like.
And wind sprint up there.
And Percy Harvin is gone down. So now you got Christian Ponder back there and Adrian Peterson. You got who the other wide receiver for the Vikings?
Michael
the same name.
The great Michael Jenkins from the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, yeah. Like I say, you can't name him. Michael Jenkins getting like 2 catches for 36 yards. So yeah. It's just like, this dude got to be the MVP. And they should do something unprecedented. Because this quarterback draft appears to be the best quarterback draft, period. All they got to do is win the Super Bowls. It'll be the best quarterback.
I heard Mike Wilbon say this yesterday. And it was true. He was like, when you look at it, you had what was the 83 class with Dan Marino. You had
John Elway, Tony Easton.
Tony Easton, all those cats. They had 11 Super Bowl appearances between all those guys. When you look at the Big Ben
Jim Kelly
and Eli, yeah, Big Ben and Eli and all those dudes, they had 4 Super Bowl rings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Elway won 3.
I'm using that just to say the book has yet to be written. Very impressive for some rookies because you got to look at the time before now. We really haven't been, the NFL really hasn't been using rookies that way. The whole philosophy has been you get a guy and you sit him, you bring him up through the system, you take your time with him. And now the whole philosophy has changed. The game has switched up with a lot of guys. These guys are coming out NFL ready, and teams are putting them out there immediately, throwing them straight to the wolves, and you're going to sink or you're going to swim. And most of these guys are swimming, man, and they're showing that they can do it. So now what you're going to do is you're going to draft the quarterback, and you're going to expect him to be able to perform. I feel sorry for the Matt Barkley's and the guys that are coming out in next year's draft and upcoming draft, whether Aaron Murray or not decides he wants to come out or not. Some of these guys, when you get drafted first, second round, they're going to look at you like you're supposed to come in and be a difference maker, and that may not be the case, So
yeah.
On top of that, though, I will throw this out there to say I put AP as my MVP. What I will do, because he's the MVP, Peyton Manning is comeback player of the year.
Yeah, yeah. If you give one, you got to give the other the other award. Nadi, we didn't hear you on this. Those awards.
Yeah, my rookie of the year would be whoever has the best record out of the 3 quarterbacks. So if Russell Wilson ends up with a better record than Andrew Luck, then I think Russell Wilson should get it. If all things are even, then Andrew Luck, based upon how bad the Colts were last year, and Andrew Luck really lived up to the hype of being the number one pick. And that says a lot for itself. That's hard to do, to live up to the hype. And he did that, so I would have no problem with Andrew Luck winning. But if he loses the remaining games and RG3 wins the remaining games, or Russell Wilson ends up winning the remaining games or winning the division somehow, and then I would be swayed to have a different pick. As far as MVP go, that's unanimous. I just think AP just really, he's shown that he's the best football player in the league, and I think that's who the MVP should go to.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like I said last week, I think it's something to that suggestion Tillery put out, to where there should be some kind of quarterback award similar to the Cy Young, and then just have the MVP, because sometimes it gets so skewed as far as how quarterbacks are with these awards. I fully expect Peyton to still win this award, even though I think Adrian Peterson should get it. I don't know. We'll see how they voted, man. You got those writers in there. They got to make those decisions, so we'll see. Sticking with the NFL, though, man, with Christian Ponder, since we're talking Adrian Peterson as MVP, who has proven to be you know, not too effective. He's had a couple of double-digit passing games this season. He got married to an ESPN personality the other day. Would other people get a lot of blowback from this? We've seen the stuff that happened to Romo when he was dating chicks or whatever. Would there be a lot of blowback for other people if they were out getting married to an ESPN personality and playing like he's playing? Or say it was Mark Sanchez. Is Christian Ponder kind of, you know, getting a free pass on this?
He plays in Minnesota, man. If he played in Dallas, if he played in New York, they'd probably be a big write-up about it. But he played in Minnesota. They don't even have a new stadium. They're trying to get a new stadium. So they like irrelevant up there. Most people don't even know Christian Ponder. They just know AP and Percy Harvin. He just there. So.
True. Starting quarterback in the NFL. I know this is, you know, hey, I just want to know, just your opinion. Gordon?
I agree with James. The fact that he plays in Minnesota, the fact that he's playing with, like we said, the best player in the NFL, and his team really isn't depending on him to get the W. They just get using him, hoping that he can maintain the game and don't lose it for him. But I do agree that if he was in the Dallas or New York, Miami, or a major market where he's seen and his performance is on in a spotlight, I think that he would get some backlash because of this. I mean, what's the worst that you could say? Couldn't you wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, however long it would be before you're out of the playoffs, before you go and get married? I think this whole relationship would have come up a long time ago. I mean, it's been noted, and, you know, and it's been throughout national media, has been considered like something cute, you know. Christian, yeah, you know, I think it was kind of looked at as a fling at first, and then they were engaged a couple weeks ago, and then you look up today and they're married, and you're like, well, whoa, what happened? You know, I think, and part of it is because, you know, he's a quarterback from Florida State. People are pretty much, you know, thinking he's playing field. You know, like you said, look at Mark Sanchez and what happened to him. He was kind of a playboy. He messed around, got Eva Longoria for a minute, and his play went terrible, and everybody was down on him. You had Tony Romo, who was messing with Jessica Simpson for the week. They had the week off from the playoffs, and he and Jessica Simpson and a couple other players went to Mexico, and it was all over the paper. So, yeah, I mean, he benefits from playing in Minnesota, doing what he's doing, and it's kind of a hidden story.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that it's right for them to go after people for who they date, and I think it's wrong anyway. I'm just wondering, you know, how he's gotten away with it. So it's just kind of funny to me that nobody said a thing to old Ponder. What'd you say?
Who is the chick?
Samantha. Her name is she's a sideline reporter. Her name is Samantha Steele.
Okay. So he ain't nobody and she ain't nobody, so who cares?
I think that pretty much sums it up, man. That'll work. So before we get out of NFL football, man, Colin Kaepernick got a great win in New England. Looks like Harbaugh made the right decision so far. And like you brought up earlier, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, and then we got the Redskins making their push and RG3 trying to play this weekend. Your thoughts on those three teams, Seahawks, Redskins, and Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers? Let me go Naughty first.
Well, I mean, the Niners are playing very well. I mean, Kaepernick was Harbaugh's guy. You know, at the end of the day, I have no problem with him playing Kaepernick. You know, that's who he feels comfortable with playing. I just still feel that Alex Smith did nothing to lose his job. But, you know, the head coach got to live with all his decisions. You know, if you win, you're going to get the credit. If you lose, you know, you're going to get the blame. And
yeah,
as long as he can live with those decisions, then, you know, I'm cool with it. Redskins, you know, I'm pulling. You know, I don't like the Redskins, but I'm pulling for them to make the playoffs because I want to see RG3 and Russell
Wilson.
Russell Wilson in the playoffs. So,
yeah.
You know, that'll be a good look, and then we'll get there. You know, I think, you know, at least with Russell Wilson, he has a defense that can back him up. So I think he can really, you know, shake some things up, and the Seattle can really make a run all the way to the Super Bowl.
Man, now that D would have to play phenomenal for them to get there. But I see what you mean.
But Russell Wilson,
that's the type of team that
he's playing.
You don't really want to play them because they got Marshawn Lynch, that defense, and if Russell makes a few plays, you're in trouble. So yeah, I feel you on that. Let me go to James.
What was the question one more time?
Just basically the 49ers, Redskins, and Seahawks going down the stretch here. And, you know, just the way Colin Kaepernick played looks like the right decision.
Yeah, it looked really interesting. I saw he got rattled a little bit in that playing against the Patriots. Harbaugh liked to blew that game because he let out the gas.
Yeah,
and they like to came back, and Tom Brady like to brought them back. So, but Crabtree made an incredible play.
Was it an incredible play, or was that just bad defense by the DB?
Well, they blitzed the cornerback 5 yards off the receiver. He recognized the blitz, got the ball. Kaepernick recognized the blitz, got the ball out. He threw it low. And Crabtree came back to the ball, which helped him get away from the cornerback. If he wouldn't have came back from the ball for the ball, he wouldn't have been able to get away from the cornerback and make that move that he made to score the touchdown. It looked almost like the move he made against Texas, which got him like the national attention.
Mm.
So to score the winning touchdown. So I think it'll be a good look. If they lose, I'm anxious to see the reaction of what happened if they lose in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, they play Seattle this week, I think, don't they? Don't they play Seattle this week? I'm anxious to watch that game between Seahawks and the 49ers, two rookie quarterbacks, and see the adjustments that are made and see how the quarterbacks react. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson, he's starting to look more and more seasoned as – he's starting to complete more passes. Passing percentage starting to go up. He's starting to move the ball around a lot more. I see they're starting to give him a little bit more things to do. And he's just out there playing football now. Let me see. I think that RG3 and the Redskins. I'm kind of anxious to see if he's going to play this week or not. He may need to sit down another week. I'm not sure. He's had an incredible year as well. They're playing the Eagles this week, so.
Should be a win.
It should be a win. I don't know if I want him to win or not. But.
Bet you don't.
Right.
Yeah, I probably don't. I'm going to say it deep down in my heart. I don't want them to win. everything looks real interesting, though. I can't it's kind of an exciting year. I think that'll be unprecedented, too, to have really three rookie quarterbacks. Well, Kaepernick's a second-year guy, but – three rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs, pretty much. And that'll be it. That'll make for the unusual year. So,
but unprecedented just, for now. I think going forward, we'll see this again, you know, with the way they're bringing rookies in. As Gordon alluded to earlier, we'll see it. Gordon, did you want to comment on those three?
Yeah. I'm in agreement with Noddy. Personally, I didn't think Alex Smith did anything to lose his job. The man just took a hard hit, you know, and technically you're not supposed to lose your job due to injury. And I said it before that what this is going to cause is you're going to have a lot of guys who are going to try to hide the fact that they've taken the blow. You're going to have guys who try to get up immediately, maybe run to the sideline, you know, shake it off, ask for some water, do everything to divert the fact that they don't know what name what their name is right now.
And the players
because they don't
knew this beforehand, right?
They don't want to lose a job, and we're seeing this with RG3.
Yeah.
You see what we're seeing it with RG3 who's taken some hits, who's done some things that and had to come out of the game and insert Kirk Cousins, and I applaud Mike Shanahan for bringing in Kirk Cousins when everybody thought he was crazy. You know, saying how ridiculous it was to draft two quarterbacks in the draft in the same draft. But he's kind of looking like a genius right now. Both guys are playing well. I mean, Kirk Cousins got in against the Atlanta Falcons, and while he did have an interception during that game, he also had a touchdown pass. You know, he also came in, and once he got his groove, he started doing looking okay. And he looked pretty good the other day. And you heard the sentiments of RG3 saying he wanted to get back in the game. You hear the angst in his voice of him wanting to get back on the field simply because he wants to be the man. He wants to get out there, and he doesn't want to lose his job. He don't want Kirk Cousins to go out there and beat the Eagles just to come back, and now you got a quarterback controversy a week before you go into the playoffs, because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
you're going to have a quarterback controversy a week before you go to the playoffs, and also it may hamper his rookie of the year contention. People say, well, shoot, how are we going to vote this dude rookie of the year when his backup came in and won two games? It's based on the possibility of Kirk Cousins winning this week, well, if he plays. But like you're saying, well, you know, shoot, Kirk Cousins came in and he won two games. How good is RG3? Is it RG3 or is it the system? And you'll hear those talks popping up. He wants to go out there and show that he's the man, he's the lead. Not only is the man in terms of being the guy that's marketable or whatever, but he also wants to show that he's the leader of the team. And that's something that Russell Wilson has done. I do think it's commendable for all these young guys, even Colin Kaepernick. I mean, while I don't think Alex Smith did anything to lose the team, I think Colin Kaepernick has done everything to gain confidence from his team. You know, I'm pretty sure it might have been pretty shaky. I'm pretty sure it might have been around the locker room. Hey, we don't know. Yeah, he's got a lot of tools, but we don't know what he can do when lights turn on. We don't know what he can do for an extended period of games. And he's done nothing but show that he can play football, man. He can play football in this league, and not only can play, he can win.
Right.
So I think the test for all three of those guys are going to be when the playoffs happen, how can you handle yourself, and what kind of position are your coaches going to put you in when it come game time? You know, right now you're possibly playing some teams who are out of it. Some teams may be looking to, you know, go ahead and go fishing, fire up the boat, you know, got their vacation bags packed or whatever. And you're going to have some teams that are looking to play the spoiler, looking to take you out. But for the most part, it's still the regular season. And when the playoffs come, intensity is ratcheted up a little bit. You turn the dial to the right, we'll see how the guys step up.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting going down the stretch. Oh, okay. Caller just left the chat. I was going to go to him, but he just left. It's all right. We keep it moving. The Super Bowl will be streamed online for free this year, just so everybody knows, NFL.com. So if you're stuck somewhere, can't get the bowl on, hey, you can watch it online. Things are changing out here. Nick Fairley will be on IR, so I guess that's good news for the Falcons. Coming up this Saturday in their game versus Detroit.
Has he done much this season? I mean,
another big body on the D-line, though. You know, keeping everybody fresh.
I know he got a couple sacks in the game like 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Got a lot of false starts. So I don't know. We'll see.
I believe they lead the league in false starts with about 50 or 65, something like that.
Yeah, it's something crazy.
I think it's 65. 65 neutral zone infractions and or offside penalties.
Yeah, it ain't about that line of scrimmage, man.
Well, they real undisciplined. They real undisciplined.
Yeah, I fully think Schwartz is gone this year. And if he is, Like, what do you say about the coaching carousel this year as far as the NFL offseason? We know who we think is on the hot seat and who might be gone, but do you see, like, if I say Romeo Crennel, Lovie Smith, Andy Reid, and Jim Schwartz, would you agree that probably all of them are gone or some? What's your thoughts?
I think some are gone. I mean, it's still up in the air for Lovie. I think they haven't gone to playoffs five out of six years, something like that.
No, he's got an NFC Championship game and a Super Bowl appearance.
So I mean,
he's got four seasons and not making playoffs. So if what
we're doing now and how everybody's talking about the Falcons, what we're doing is basing everything off postseason performances. Yeah, I think his seat is on fire. NFL, as we know, is a what have you done for me lately league. I would even throw in Jason Garrett to that mix. You know, Romeo Crennel, I think, I don't know, do you get any merit for the whole incident that happened? Yeah, you stumped before, but I don't, that whole Kansas City thing, while I do believe he probably will be fired, it's tough, I mean.
Along with
have a guy,
the GM, yeah.
Yeah, along with the GM, I mean, and that's something to say for one of the guys coming off of Bill Belichick tree, and Scott Pioli. But I'm trying to think of who I'm pretty sure North Turner's out of the building.
Yeah.
Has he turned in his key card yet? I'm trying to keep going around. I mean, but it's going to be a lot of coaching, man.
Jim Schwartz in Detroit. Yeah.
I mean, with Schwartz.
I can tell you what they should do. Whoever takes over that Detroit coaching job need to hire Romeo Crennel to run defense and Norv Turner to run offense. And them guys just need to know their roles. You're a defensive coordinator and you're an offensive coordinator. Don't ever try to be a head coach again. Well, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator.
I think that's fair with Norv. I don't know if that's fair with Romeo. I don't know what kind of shots he's gotten in Cleveland and Kansas City. I don't know.
Well, I think that for Detroit needs somebody, a disciplinarian. They need one of those Greg Schiano-type dudes to come in and inject some discipline into the team, because we've clearly seen that this bad boy, bully on the block thing that they tried to do clearly isn't working. It's led to off-season scandals and things like that going on with different players in terms of your Ndamukong Suh.
With the off-season scandal, but you actually got to beat people up on the field. I don't think they beat people up. I think they get a lot of flags and do some dirty stuff. But yeah,
right, and that goes back to being undisciplined. You're not tough. You're just not disciplined.
Right.
You know, you got guys, you know, hitting late after the whistle. You got guys kicking dudes in the nuts.
Yeah.
You got guys doing all different types of stuff on the field. And, you know, I think the Indianapolis Colts who made the comment about how dirty they were playing, they were hitting beyond the whistle, stuff like that. It's not really a bully, like you said, because they're not winning games. You're not this big, bad team. You're just a team that we're going to go in, we're going to beat you, but we're just going to try not to get hurt in the process. And that's my feelings for the Falcons coming in this season. I would love for the Falcons to go ahead and jump out on this team, get in and get out. You know what I'm saying? We throw in whoever, throw in the backups, get up a few scores, throw in the backups, and get out of there, man. I like to throw in, we had the coaching carousel. What about Rex Ryan? This is a circus.
Oh, he's got to be, yeah. I can't believe I missed that one.
Well, they said that Rex Ryan has $6 million guaranteed for the next $3 million next year and $3 million the year after, guaranteed.
Yeah, but paying him that little amount of money, does that hurt your brand as far as Jets fans not wanting to come out because you got this guy on the sideline who they want gone? Is the fan base?
They say the Jets always shoot. He don't like to be paying coaches. So,
yeah, but he worried about his bottom line. I guarantee you that.
it's bottom line fine. Because them same fans going to come out every year. They're going to buy their season tickets. They ain't going nowhere. They'll be the Jet fireman man or whatever. That dude will be there next year.
He quit.
Fireman Sam. Fireman Jeff.
Fireman Ed. He quit.
Yeah. There you go, Ed. There you go. Knew something.
And with this new age of Twitter and everything else where fans kind of have a voice, can you get away with putting a guy on the sideline who people do not like and are sick of? Is it just better to go get you a cheap coach like the Bobcats going to get that assistant in St. John? Like if you can't find somebody for the job. So I think James brought up something interesting there, saying they got the money owed to them. But I'm just wondering if that's a bigger problem.
But I try to stop there. I mean, if they're willing to put on the spectacle of Tim Tebow, if you're willing to go out there and say Tim Tebow is gonna, we're gonna get this guy, even though our coach doesn't want him. How about you go get rid of Rex Ryan? If you're willing to spend that type of money just to make the newspaper, how about you get rid of a guy like that and try to get a Nick Saban from Alabama?
Nick Saban not leaving.
Why not?
That was the other question from Gordon. Is Nick Saban leaving?
Why not?
If he raises that trophy again, what does he have to do
with Alabama?
He's a college coach.
No, he's not.
You can tell
in his heart, he's an NFL coach. He came up. He was on
He was at the Miami Dolphins, and he quit.
They were losing.
He wasn't letting him do what he wanted to do. He want a guy like Nick Saban wants to control. He wants the power, and not only that, he's a competitor. If he wins this year, he has won what 3 out of 4 years, and that's the title. What is there left for me to do?
But now that you're quiet about this coaching thing, man, did you want to comment on anybody? Or, like I said, I don't want to be out here hating like I'm trying to talk about people should be fired or whatever. I'm just going off of what we think as far as what's going on with the NFL down the stretch, man. I believe Naughty is taking in some activities. We lost Naughty for a second. With that said, man, I don't know. That's a tough conversation, but I think there will be a lot of people gone by the end of the season, a lot of different hires.
And like I said, you know how I feel about Rex Ryan. I don't think none of the guys deserve to be head coaches.
I think the better question is, where will the retreads land?
Man,
if Dan Gailey gets
another job, I'm through, man.
I'm saying where does Andy Reid? I've been hearing the rumors. Does Andy Reid go to San Diego?
Or is Detroit
you know
a better destination than San Diego? Looking at the roster.
Go to Detroit.
I mean, we talk all the time about wanting to see new blood, you know, a new guy get a shot in the league. But I'd be really interested to see where the retreads go, where the guys who have been fired off of different type of jobs, multiple jobs, where do they go? I mean, I think one thing we have to look at, and I have done no research on that whatsoever, but one thing we have to look at is previous relationships, who's worked with whom, who's worked with this GM, who has a relationship with this owner or that owner. Does Sean Payton sign back to New Orleans? Or does Jerry Jones, if they fizzle out and don't make the playoffs, does Jerry Jones try to make a push to get Sean Payton? How does he feel about Jason? You know, does he try to ride with Jason Garrett and the fact that he may look stupid? Jason Garrett was his hand-picked boy, and now it ain't working.
Yeah. I think we will see the retreads, though. That's what we always see. So I think guys will get other opportunities elsewhere. I mean, they usually just take a few of the new hot guys, you know what I mean, as far as college coaches or assistants who are on their radar. But they don't really jump out in the pool too much, man. So I definitely see retreads coming.
And, I mean, I hate for it to happen, but look for names like Mike Nolan, you know, who come in and put a spark in the Atlanta Falcons defense to have his name mentioned in somewhere in somebody's head coaching job. I would love for him to stay, but I mean, shoot, one of the things that a pretty good team, a successful team, they come and pick your assistants. Mike Nolan had his stint with San Francisco. It didn't quite work out. He came in, he made it, you know, brought his bones back up as an assistant. History tells us they'll give you another shot because you have the relationships and because you have that family thing going on. You know, his father being the coach in the NFL as well. Yeah. Somebody's going to want to put him as a face of their franchise.
Yeah, that's a good call on that one. I could definitely see him getting a shot. I guess we're going to move to the NBA before we get out of here. Lakers, of course, the NBA, the number one story is always the Lakers when they're going through what they're going through. I tweeted it out earlier. I don't know if everybody saw the column. Jason Whitlock is blaming Kobe's ego as the Lakers' biggest problem right now. Interesting. That's all I'll say about the column. Y'all can check it out for yourselves. But what are your thoughts on the Lakers right now, the state of the Lakers looking at that team? Let me go to Gordon first.
Personally, for D'Antoni's sake, well, I won't even say for D'Antoni's sake, for Junior Buss, I'll say I hope Steve Nash come back and can set the world on fire, because if not, you know, you're going to have these Laker fans putting up signs, "We won't feel. We won't feel." You're going to hear the chant, "We won't feel." I don't think it's Kobe's ego at all. I think it's Kobe's ego that's benefiting the Lakers right now, but simply because when the chips are bad, when Dwight Howard is letting people blow by him and get to the basket, and people are hitting shots, it's Kobe's ego that's forcing him to put up the shots. People are putting the chicken before the egg in a lot of these cases where they're looking at it saying, "Oh, well, the Lakers are losing because Kobe's scoring 30 and Kobe's putting up X amount of shots." Well, Kobe's putting up, in the games that I've watched, Kobe's putting up X amount of shots because the Lakers are losing, and he doesn't want to lose. And so he doesn't trust anybody around him. Kobe's the type of guy that trusts himself. I know if I pass the ball to Ron Artest, I trust me hitting the shot rather than Ron Artest. I know I'll make it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Kobe's doing. That's what Kobe has done his whole career when they had the Smush Parker days and Kwame Brown.
Yeah, Kobe, but this team ain't bad like that, though. These guys are just old. They ain't talentless. They just
bad. Well, regardless, whether you're old or talentless, you're not getting the job done. What's the difference?
I don't know.
And he feels like he can do it, and he can still play at a high level. My question is only the fact that how long can he continue to do it? You know, I mean, if you look at Dwight Howard's numbers, sure, he's still putting up numbers. He's still getting 18, 15 rebounds. He's still getting 12, 15 points, something like that. Palisade just getting back into the mix. He kind of helping out a little bit. But if Steve Nash does not come in here and make everyone better to the point where they can rip off a run of 15-3 or 20 wins and 5 losses, something like that, real quick, it's going to look ugly for the Lakers, and you're going to have these diehard Lakers fans calling back for Phil.
Now, what is your opinion on that? Do you think that Steve Nash can come back and lead them to that kind of run?
No.
Okay.
No. Because, we're talking about Steve Nash that's 40 years old. You know, he's 40. And I don't care what kind of shape you're in to run that system that D'Antoni wants to run. You're dealing with old legs. They may be able to put together a string of games, win 5-6 in a row. Then you'll probably lose 2 or 3, and then you probably win 4 or 5 in a row, and you probably lose 2 or 3 again. But when the season comes up, and it's getting after the All-Star break, you're going to be looking at dead legs.
Because what
is the stat? I think they put up now, they're like, what is it, Kobe's logged more NBA minutes than anybody in NBA history?
Well, I guess the high school thing would kind of make something like that possible. So, that's interesting, man. I definitely don't see no big run when Nash comes back, though. Like I said, man, the older guy, you're trying to run a system that they can't run with their old legs, and it's just a mismatched roster. James, if you want to comment on anything with the Lakers.
Yeah, man. The Lakers are in trouble, man.
You talking first-round trouble or second-round trouble? Like, how far are we going to go with this trouble? Like, they're in trouble. Like, they're getting sent home first rip for it. You know what I mean?
It depends on the matchup. They get the right matchup.
Okay.
They can get out the first round. But if they run into the wrong matchup, sure, they can be out in the first round, too. So it depends on the matchup. So if the playoff were to start today, would the Lakers even be in the playoff today if they were to start right now?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I think so. Let me
I think so, too. I can't – don't quote me on that, but I think so, too.
Right.
So they'd probably be like a 7 or 8 seed. So that means if they wind up playing Oklahoma City in the first round, they gone. They gone. They good is gone. Just gone. Chaos Christmas. So, like I say, man, they hired the wrong coach. Until D'Antoni showed me something in the playoffs or something to prove me different or show me that they can get by Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City going to win it all. Well, they're not going to win it, but they're going to win the West. And
yeah.
When I look at the Lakers, they want to win a championship. So I'm looking at the Lakers, and I'm like, can they beat the best team in the West, which is Oklahoma City?
No.
No. Can they beat probably the next best, which is, San Antonio probably?
San Antonio, Memphis. I don't think they can beat
either.
They can probably beat San Antonio because the commissioner don't like old boy in San Antonio in the finals anymore. So they always pick up the red phone for that game.
Yeah, but think about the weirdness of it. The San Antonio Spurs actually play faster than the Lakers, and I don't think the Lakers would be able to keep up with them.
I don't know, man. They always seem to get by hook or by crook. So,
those were better teams, though. So I don't know, man. I'm just thinking about something you just said, though, as far as what Gordon said before, saying Kobe Bryant's logged the most minutes. Just trying to, I guess, average everything out with coming out of high school and everything else. Does that make you wonder about LeBron with Kevin Durant taking over that number one spot sooner than what would usually be because LeBron's played so many minutes?
Yeah.
No.
I think so, and simply because of this. I mean, when we first talked about LeBron going to Miami, everybody felt like, oh, he's cheating. You know what I'm saying? He's cheating. He's basically put together a dream team. And initially your thought would be, well, this would take some wear and tear off of LeBron. But it hasn't.
No.
Because like we said, when we had the whole argument about whose team was it, we see whose team it is. It's LeBron James' team, and LeBron James is still carrying the weight of the Miami Heat on his back, much like he did the weight of the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's just, yes, he does have better talent around him, but as we're seeing with Dwayne Wade isn't the same Dwayne Wade from years past. Dwayne Wade, I won't go so far as to say like Barkley and say he's lost a step, but I will say he's had some injuries that have kept him from being the Dwayne Wade we all know and love.
And
so
and
therefore, LeBron still has to be the end-all, be-all. You know, we have spurts of Chris Bosh. Bosh will step up on certain games where he'll have 25, 26, 27 points, and he'll show out a little bit. But that comes in spurts. That's few and far between. That's not taking any pressure off of LeBron James. You know, and the only thing that he has now that he didn't really have then at Cleveland is a better array of shooters to kick the ball out to.
Yeah. I'm watching them, and I'm wondering, man, like they won last night but got out-rebounded big time. I'm watching them and wondering if this just really ain't the team, just the way they're constructed right now. Because, I mean, I know everybody wants to be versatile, and we talked about that versatile lineup to start the NBA season because I thought that would be a big thing. But I didn't know they would depend on that lineup. I thought that would be a lineup to make runs and, you know, start out the fourth quarter in. But they just don't have any bigs. So I don't know, man. Looking at them right now, I really can't see Miami winning this thing. If they get matched up with OKC or even coming out of the East, messing with New York and all those big dudes on the bench, even the old guys.
I personally think they got one more. I think they can win it this year. Even if they get matched up with OKC, I think they can put it together just because, like I said, they have an array of veterans who can step up in any game. And you still have to think about Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook now with James Harden out of the picture. They still have a lot of the pressure on them. They still have to step up and carry the torch for these two, for this team. And then we're looking at two guys have to carry the torch for that team all season, all 82 games, and then through the playoffs. Because while Kevin Martin he's putting up points, he's not putting up the heart. He's not taking away other guys on defense like Harden could do. He's not, you know, coming in and just being that spark. I think he had a game the other night where he had 20-some points. I didn't get a chance because I was working. I didn't get a chance to see him tonight with the Hawks. I watched the game a little later after we get off the phone. But he's not doing what Harden did. And Ibaka's still one-dimensional. You know what I'm saying? So these two guys are going to be wearing thin as the season goes along. But I think the Heat has one more in them. And after that, then we can start talking about, you know, where they go from here, because I don't see that not three, not four, not five, all that hype that they were talking about, because other than they're going to have to retool.
Have to.
You know what I'm saying? And part of that retooling may be looking to see what can we do with Dwayne Wade.
which is crazy sounding, but, yeah, because you're limited in your options of what you can move. Nobody want nothing you got except for Bosch, and you can't move Bosch because you're going to need him. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting, man, to see what Miami does. But like I said, I'm not too sold on them this year, man, after watching the product on the court, man. A lot of people
for
70 before the season, but, shit,
they got better.
Not an elite team like that.
Well, they got better offensively, but they got worse defensively.
Yeah, and on the court.
The guys they have, they can score.
Yeah.
But they can't play defense like they used to play defense because Ray Allen, he's past his prime. He can't stay with anybody. And they don't play Joel Anthony on the floor like they probably need to. So
because he's so bad offensively, they don't want to play him. They just use him when they have to. But, yeah, it's going to be rough out there, man. This is Speaking Like You Thinking Radio. We're going to get out of here in a minute. Before we do, text from Eastside was Josh Hamilton deserved that money that he got out there for the Angels. If Pujols and those boys can get it, he definitely can. He's a younger dude, so he deserves it. I just wanted to put that out there because I know Eastside wanted to ride on that one because a lot of people are saying Hamilton don't deserve the money with all the risk off the field or whatever. And
he's got issues that he's supposed to have been battling in the past in terms of addiction. And once again, this is America. You give a guy a second chance. He seemed to be doing pretty well in his plight, but judge a dude from what's going on the baseball field, not what has gone on in his past personal life.
Okay.
That's why he got the money.
Right. I agree. Let me go to this clip of the one and only, the greatest internet troll, Twitter troll out there, man, the great Skip Bayless on First Take.
And then the other thing that happened very quietly was Manny Pacquiao underwent a spiritual conversion.
Oh, Lord.
Freddie Roach talked about it before the fight. You read the quotes. We did them on TV. Freddie Roach said, I'm concerned. He is
Excuse number 9,000 for Manny Pacquiao, the religious conversion. Anybody buying that one?
Man, I saw that punch, man. One hit right there, baby. Saw that. I went back and instant replayed it. I don't know how many times I instant replayed that thing. I was like, God, no, no. Yeah, ain't no way he's getting up from that. And, no. He went out there, man. Dude did what he said he was going to do. Take it out of the referee's hand.
Yo. He did. Gordon?
Yeah. And it was a ready-made excuse. We talked about this a little bit last week. It was a ready-made excuse. Freddie Roach threw it out there before the fight. I mean, I'm not sure if he saw that he wasn't training as hard. I think part of that, don't blame your religion. Don't blame that he's gone from Protestant. He's gone to Protestant from Catholic, and he's been hanging with Protestant priests or whatever. Don't blame you losing the fight on you changing religions. That's not what you should be doing. I think more so what we should be looking at is his lack of focus in the ring in terms of him trying to be a politician, him trying to be an actor or a singer, him trying to do other outside ventures other than boxing, because that's what it is. If you want to put the religion thing in there, you can lump it all in and say that he hasn't been focused on his craft. That's where it's got him the status that he's at today.
Hold on.
But don't just
ask you one question.
Don't say that.
He going from what religion to what religion?
He went from Catholic to Protestant.
Oh, okay. Well, that might have had something to do with it, because the Catholics, they known for doing some fighting. That might have had something to do with it.
Yeah, the only problem with all those excuses is that was one of Manny's best fights early on, and he looked real good. And then the other thing was the way he got knocked out was him not being disciplined, and that's a Manny Pacquiao staple of him losing discipline and going after somebody for a knockout. So, I mean.
But, and to compare it to if he would have fought Mayweather, I don't know if he would have gotten knocked out by the same punch, but what I do know is he would have ate a lot of those same punches, because Mayweather is an expert at the counter punch, and that's what it is. He went in and Marquez ducked the punch, and he made it, he like you said, undisciplined. He leaning in with his face and like he ran into a flagpole. You know what I'm saying? He ate it and he was knocked out. I will say
Barzy is ducking me on that, because I've been saying for the last 2 years that he's too undisciplined. Floyd's a counterpuncher and it wouldn't be a good fight. And I believe Barzy's running from the argument, sir.
Man, Floyd would have knocked that Pacquiao out, man.
Because I have not seen Floyd lay anybody out like that. I won't go so far as to say Floyd would have knocked him out. What I will say is Floyd would have dotted his eyes. His face would look like Martin when he was on the Tommy Hearns episode before it was over, because he would have just counterpunched him to dust. He would have dotted him up.
Yeah, and Floyd's knockouts come against guys like that. The Ricky Hatton knockout was the same thing. He ran into Floyd. Floyd moved and gave him that counter hook. So, I mean.
Well, Ricky Hatton had aggravated him all week, man. They say all them England people were in there hollering his name, all singing his songs about him all week, and he just got tired. He said, I'm going to knock this dude out. And
yeah, but, it's still Floyd.
That dude
don't have that punching power, so he had to wait.
When he fought against Sugar Shane, Sugar Shane just needed a check. And Sugar Shane got lucky and caught him with a good punch. He's like, okay, I'm going to have to stop playing with this dude. Because I thought he took it easy on Sugar Shane. He wanted to help his friend. I need a check. Let me get my man a check. And then Sugar Shane caught him with a good punch. He's like, okay, I'm going to have to stop playing with this dude. And the other cast, man, he's so much better than cast, man. It don't even matter. And whether he knocked him out or not, he beat him up so bad, he might as well have got knocked out.
Yeah,
but
Floyd
knocked me out instead of beating me up the whole match.
Floyd is the best fighter of this era, which is a weak era. So, You know what I mean? Always add that in there when Floyd tries to say the best ever and all that nonsense. But he's an all-time great.
He's shooting for Rocky Marciano. Who say Rocky Marciano here one week?
But it's the same thing. You can't take a guy's titles away. You can't take away what he's done. I personally believe the same thing about Lennox Lewis in the heavyweight division.
Yep.
You can also say the same thing about the Houston Rockets. Would the Houston Rockets have two titles if Michael Jordan's playing in the NBA?
Probably not.
So, I mean, you can't really take away from what a guy's done. All you can do is, you know, respect the guy that was put in front of him. And if he beat the guy, what, he's 49-0? Something like that? And then Mayweather 49?
I don't know. Yeah, something.
That was like 49, but whatever. He's beating everybody that you put in front of him. So whether it's been a tomato can or it's been a hair razor, he put him down.
True. It's just when you go through that top 10 and you look at quality of opponents, you just can't put them in the same league. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to knock him by saying that. I'm just saying the truth.
I don't know what he would be if he fought in the Sugar Ray Martin hybrid era.
You're trying to knock him.
I don't know what he would be if he'd have fought in the Sugar Ray, Marvin Hagler, Tommy Hearns era. I don't know. You know, would he still be one of the greatest? Would he not? It's tough to say. But all we had to go on is what we see.
Right.
Now that's by no means am I saying I'm going to hold the sign to say Money Mayweather is the best, but. I'm just, you know, he has an argument, and you can't dispute it because the record speaks for itself.
Yeah, it does. And it's also in the era when the two Klitschkos are the heavyweight champions. So all I'm saying is, hey, man, it's a lot of people doing MMA and playing football instead of being in boxing like a long time ago. That's all I'm going to say about that.
You're right about that. I mean, and I think many of trainers, I think the late, great Emanuel Stewart would have told you that. You know, I think I heard him make that quote when somebody might have asked, well, you know, why aren't there any great heavyweights? And he said, they are great heavyweights. They're all playing football. You know, looking at a Ray Lewis. You think about what James Harrison could be in the boxing ring.
Oh, damn.
You know what I'm saying? Think
now
about
that's
some of these
scary
dudes.
Shit.
Think about what some of these dudes could be if you put some gloves on them instead of putting a helmet and some pads. But, you know, those are choices. It's a different era. You know, we grew up watching boxing every day, damn it. It seemed like you had the wild world of sports coming on, and you were always looking for the next best fighter, the next up-and-coming fighter. And nowadays, you don't really see that anymore. It's like it's gone to the wayside right now. You know, way of the dinosaur almost, because we don't get – you still get some of the Friday night fights on ESPN, but that's not, you know, weekly.
Yeah. And it's usually not the best guys. You got a prospect against a tomato can usually.
Right. So, you know, I mean, I don't know if this is a sport that's dying. You know, I think that's a pretty good question. Is boxing a dying breed?
I don't think so, just because people like to have fight parties. So whenever you got champ, you can always raise some. And you know
you can
raise a fake fighter.
People have fight parties all the time. They're just doing it for MMA now.
Yeah, but the boxing ones will still be there too, man. I feel like Manny Pacquiao is the perfect example. I think he was a blown-up guy who was good but not great. But in this era, he looks great, and he's box office. And he's going to get fight parties and shit like that, man. His comeback fight's going to be crazy.
You believe Pacquiao's coming back?
Yeah, I think he will. There's too much money out there.
Is it another Marquez fight?
Oh, no. I think they're going to leave that alone. They'll pick up some of this easy money out there, man. What's my man's name who got the fake win against him? Yeah, get that rematch signed.
Who, Bradley?
Yeah, go beat up Tim Bradley and get that money.
Man, sure. Bradley don't have no reason to fight Pacquiao now. He just lost another fight.
Man, don't nobody want to fight Tim Bradley. He need a star to fight because he don't draw nothing. So, I mean, that's his payday. The revenge fight against Pacquiao, that's his payday right there before you get out the game. So I don't know, man. But yeah, just speaking like you're thinking, man. We're gonna get out of here. Anybody, y'all got any parting shots before we go?
Yeah, I got a parting shot.
Monte Ellis is 0-for-15 with 0 points, 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I
know. Wow. Okay, Joy just scored 1-for-15.
Yeah.
My bad.
On cue.
Yeah, I got a parting shot for you.
Go ahead.
All right, I just heard on the radio today that it has been scientifically proven that if you play with a woman's breasts, squeeze them, it will prevent them from having cancer. So save your girlfriends, save your wives, save your neighbors, because if you squeeze their breasts, it's been scientifically proven that you will stop them from having breast cancer. That's my part of the shot. And it's on the internet. You know everything on the internet is true.
You gotta be true, huh?
Damn, I'm about to try that there, Plim. Gordon,
yeah.
You got one or you good?
Nah, man, I can't even follow that.
I'm going to just say check out Hawks101.com for Gordon's blog, Hawks
Indeed.
Updates, and news. Definitely get into that. Naughty is on, he's producing a show on 92.3 in Atlanta.
92.9.
My bad.
I think it comes on Sunday at, I want to say 8 o'clock, Sunday night, 8 o'clock, 8 to 10, something like that. NBA, basically NBA show. Dominique Wilkins, Sam Mitchell, Stu Klatinic, and somebody else.
3D.
But 3D, there you go. So, yeah, it should be a good show. I didn't get a chance to listen to it because I was working myself. But, yeah, man, the lineup is great.
Right.
What time it come on?
I want to say 8 to 10, but you have to get with Naughty on that. All right,
okay. Cool.
Because I can start programming that in case of the 90 off.
Hey man, you can't come with the slander, man. We got people working over here, man. Chill out, man.
Right.
Hey
right.
Man, they need to get it working, man. They messing my flow up.
Yeah.
Sports Talk Radio now.
Well, this is Speaking Like You're Thinking Radio, man. We're gonna get out of here. We'll be back next week with a full cast on, man. I was sick today, so hell, we barely was able to even get this show together. I didn't want to harass Gordon again to host the show last minute. So I tried to put something together the best I could, man. But thank y'all for listening. Check out next week. You know what I mean? Follow Gordon at Gordon Robinson on Twitter, at Naughty Dread on Twitter for Naughty.
At G Robinson
Jam. What'd you say? Oh, at G Robinson
Sports. At G Robinson Sports.
Right. At G Robinson Sports. And you can find James in the streets of Atlanta with a referee fit on doing a game. Or
James, you did some high school playoff games, bro?
No, I didn't get any this year. I ain't no big deal though. I got my check on time, so I'm cool with that.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Just in time for the holidays.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, man, we're going to get up out of here, man. Thank y'all for calling in, man. And we'll be back next week.
I appreciate it, man. And remember, you can say your girlfriend or your wife or your friend or any random lady on the street.
I would suggest you try that with any random lady on the street, though.
Hey, make sure you walk around with the article.
All right, man, we up out of here.
All right, y'all be
yo. Yeah.